Happy Mother's Day. Welcome again to Athens Church. My name is Sean C., and I get to be one of the pastors around here. And so thanks so much for spending part of your Mother's Day with us. I want to talk today about motherhood, which is actually comical on a number of levels. But number one, obviously, which I've never been one, so I don't know exactly what it's like to be a mother, but I'll give you some more reasons why it's comical in a second. But I want to just tell you up front, I don't normally say this, but I'm actually a little bit nervous. I'm not nervous about speaking necessarily. I'm nervous about talking about this, and let me tell you why. Not just because I think I'll say something dumb or inappropriate or whatever, that's pretty highly likely, but more because we live in this context right now in our culture where people will grab like a soundbite, you know, and they'll like use that out of context and make you look like more of an idiot than you really are. And so here's what I would ask. We're going to end at our normal time. If you'll just like stick it out with me to the end, no matter how, you know, wrongly I say things. But then if you would just kind of trust my heart in this, I think it'll be a really special time. So excited to be able to talk with you guys about this. I feel like this topic is super, super important. But I'm probably the least qualified person in the room to talk about motherhood on a number of levels. Not only am I not a mom, but I essentially grew up without my mom for most of my life. So I don't really have a lot of firsthand experience. My parents got married at a really young age. They weren't ready to be married. Actually, I think we got a family picture here to give you a little context of my family here in the early 70s. And come on, look how cute that little guy is right there, right? And but my parents were married for about 5 years, and then they got divorced. And I actually lived with my mom just for a little bit, but then my dad got custody. And so I was actually raised by my dad. And so we lived in Metro Atlanta. And then probably when I was about 7 or 8 years old, my mom moved back to North Carolina where her family is from. So I had a long distance relationship with my mom, which wasn't very close. Now, for those of you like under the age of 25, you don't know this, but long distance relationships actually were very different back then. You didn't just FaceTime anytime you wanted to see someone anywhere on the planet. There was actually a thing called telephones, and there was a thing called long distance phone calls. Anybody resonate with a long distance phone call? I just got a quick moment of confession here, by the way. Is there anybody in the room? All right, you had to pay for long distance phone calls, by the way. There's a thing called collect calls. That's a whole other thing we'll get into for another time. But anybody ever run up a big long distance phone bill because you were in love? Anybody just kind of confess that, yeah, you get one of those? Yeah, you know, I remember like hundreds of dollars on long distance phone calls. But that was really how I kept in touch with my mom. So I would see her on holidays, and then I would see her some, you know, in the summers and that kind of thing. But my relationship with my mom was long distance. And one of the things that actually made it even more complicated and more difficult on her end is that my mom, from a very early age, battled a really intense case of Crohn's disease. Now, Crohn's disease is intense now, and many of you are aware of that, and some of you battle it yourself. It was really different 50 or 60 years ago, and so it was completely debilitating for her. And as a result of that, she had to take some intense medications that really just ravaged her body and even her emotional life. And so one of my major regrets as a son is that I just didn't understand that. I didn't have any compassion or sympathy or grace. I just was kind of frustrated with her and the way that I felt like she handled things. And I have a lot of regret for that. Another regret, honestly, that I have related to my mom looking back is that, you know, my mom was in my life for the first 5 or so years of my life. And those of you that have raised children up to the age of 5, you know, there is immense sacrifice that goes on in those early years as a mother. And I really just had no appreciation for that. I didn't have any real memory of that. And so I just didn't live with any real gratitude toward my mom and all the sacrifices that she made in the early parts of my life. And so my relationship with my mom was really very distant and just wasn't very close for the large part of my life. And then I got married when I was 21 years old. Again, I don't recommend that. Do not think that was a great idea. But fortunately, by the grace of God, I married an amazing lady named Bonnie. And here's something awesome. Once I got married, my relationship with my mom actually started to get a little bit better, which, just so you know, is a theme in my life that when Bonnie gets involved, things get better. And so there's like my way, and I handle it, and she gets involved, and all of a sudden there's some improvement there. And so I'm trying to pick up on that theme slowly but surely. But so my mom was in my life for quite a while. Actually, here's another picture. This is actually one of the last pictures I have of my mom. So that's my grandmother that I'm standing beside there. And that's our two boys that are obviously much older now. And then and there's my mom. But about 9 years ago, just tragically, my mom was killed in a single automobile accident. And so at another time, I would love to be able to tell you like the full story of what God did in her life, because Jesus was not a part of her life for the first probably 50 some odd years, and in the end, it was really pretty amazing. So anyway, there's a picture of my mom. My grandmother's a really special part of my life, but I just unfortunately don't have a lot of experience like having a mom and knowing what that mother-child relationship is like personally. Now, on the other end of things, something happened in our lives. You know, I mentioned I got married about 25 years ago, and then about 17 and a half years ago, or coming up on 18, Bonnie and I had our first child, and I have been able to witness motherhood firsthand, up close and personal, over the last 17 plus years. And literally, guys, it's blown me away. I mean, for many of you, this is very common. You grew up, you knew your mom, you were around your mom, whatever. You understood motherhood. This was all brand new for me. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is truly amazing. I was actually in the room when our sons were born, which is incredible. I've got some pictures of that we can show you. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, but just, you know, every step of the way, I mean, she has just been an amazing, amazing mother. Bonnie is kind. She's caring, compassionate. She's selfless. She's just been a servant. She has invested in their lives. She nursed our children when they were born, one of the most amazing intimate things I've ever seen. She taught them how to read and write. She potty trained them. I mean, she did all these things. And I don't want to imply that I was completely uninvolved. There were lots of times I was on the couch and I would pause the TV and I'd go, hey, listen to your mom. And then I would unpause it, obviously, and go back to what I was doing. So I don't want to say that I didn't have a role. I did have a role. But just kidding. I was a little bit more involved than that, but not a lot more involved. But let me tell you what else she did, in all seriousness. Bonnie, we have three children. Bonnie led all three of them to Jesus, led all three of them to trust Jesus as their Savior. And man, she just, it's been unbelievable to watch the imprint that she has made in their lives. And for those of you that wonder about the power of motherhood, and we're going to talk about this a little bit this morning. For those of you that wonder about the power of motherhood, let me tell you, those two little boys that you just saw a minute ago are now 17 and 16. And I can see there is something that exists in their soul because of the imprint that she left on them that is going to be with them for the rest of their lives, that nothing will ever be able to take away. And I've just been able to watch this up close, and it's blown me away. It's literally created a new category for me that I never even knew existed. And so I have just been blown away by this concept of motherhood. And so here I am. I grew up without my mom, and now for the last, you know, 17, 18 years, I've been able to watch a mom up close and personal do what she does, and it's just like mind-blowing. And it's something that you just can't fully replicate in any other way except for the way in which, you know, God kind of designed it to happen between mothers and children. And dads, we have our roles and we try really hard to, you know, do things that are very important. We have important roles, but there's just some things that we just weren't designed to do that God designed mothers to be able to do. And even so, as I watch Bonnie in this role, and I'm so amazed, and I feel like she's done such an incredible job, I notice that there are moments and there are seasons when she feels like she's not doing it well, when she feels like she's just not measuring up. And then as I talk to other women in other parts of society and other parts of our church, I interact with ladies, I hear ladies regularly say, I feel like I'm a bad mom. Thus, the title of what we're talking about today. And I sit there and I think it's hard for me to understand the sacrifices that you're making and who you are and the investments that you're making in your children and this sense of like failure that you have and that you're not quite measuring up. And so what we did is we gathered some moms together and we asked them to have a little bit of a conversation. And so we want to share just a few minutes of that conversation with you. So if you will, turn your attention to the screens and check out this conversation.
Moms, you have kids of all different ages, about to be a first-time mom, and I'm getting so much advice right now. Like, I just want to hear from you guys, like, what is some really great advice that you got? Or maybe even some, I'm getting some unsolicited advice lately. Yeah. Maybe some really bad advice that I should just ignore.
I mean, I have one married, one about to get married, and one in college. And I think for me, the piece of advice, if I could go kind of rewind and go back and do it all again, I would spend more time on the floor. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I was wrapped up in trying to, you know, build my career or be a good mom or whatever, that I just missed opportunities to just get on the floor, make a mess and not worry about cleaning it up and just get in there with them and enjoy that time, because it's gone in the blink of an eye, which is sad, but it happens.
Yeah. That's good. And enjoy your kids. Mm-hmm. I think the feeling of being enjoyed is so powerful. Mm-hmm. And if you can enjoy them when they're little, you have influence with them later. Mm-hmm. If they know you really enjoy them, mm-hmm. just take time, play, mm-hmm. like everybody's saying. Mm-hmm. Get on the floor and play a lot.
Let's talk about mom guilt, because I know that's something that I definitely struggle with. I think one of the biggest areas for me is just, if I sit down and play with my kids, which I want to do, mm-hmm. then other things aren't getting done. The dishes mm-hmm. aren't getting washed. The laundry's not getting folded. And so I think just trying to come up with is there even a balance? Is that even a word? How do y'all struggle with that? How do you relate to that?
I feel like I take every day as it comes. Like, I have a loose plan. I used to hold to it like this. Now it's a loosely held plan. And because we have to get some things done for everybody to be able to live their life, they have to have clean laundry. I guess just life experience, living long enough to see things not always work out like we expected, makes me not as like dead set on these chores that will be done, because it makes me feel good when my house is spotless. Right. Like, it's okay. And nobody cares but me. Like, nobody, that's the thing.
Those kids don't care.
No.
I would say you felt guilty, you worked. I felt guilty, I stayed home. Yeah. I think, you know, you feel guilty. Mom guilt is real.
Yeah. You find something to make yourself feel guilty about, regardless of what you're
doing. I don't know if it stems from perfectionism. What does it stem from?
Insecurity.
Well, yeah. I think it's the social media too, because we are just constantly looking at everyone's highlight reel. And I listened to a podcast the other day. I thought she had the best example. She said social media is almost like a version of cutting, because it's so damaging to us, and yet we keep going back to it.
Wow.
And so that, I immediately took Facebook off my phone after hearing that, because I thought, that's so true. That's where so much of my mom guilt comes from, because I'm looking at another mom and their perfect arts and crafts table, then they sat down and did these beautiful crafts with my children. That will never happen in my home. I'm just not artistic. And so then I feel guilty that I'm not doing arts and crafts. And so it's just a continual process.
So there's a filter for every photograph. It's like, that's not real. No. And it's like, here's the filter of mine, and it's chaos.
I think that's why people identify with the world's okayest mom that's kind of going viral, because you just can't. It's basically like people take pictures of their mom fails and like, here's the world's okayest mom, and it's a picture of you feeding your children like a sandwich, you know, and your kitchen's a mess.
Pop-tarts,
and whatever. Yeah. I mean, I'm feeding my children, world's okayest mom. And I think that's why people resonate with that, because we can't live up to this perfect standard that social media has put on us. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, so anybody got a mom fail they want to share?
My mother was keeping Lauren and Trey. So Lauren was like 3 and a half. And when I went to pick them up, I was so excited to see them. And I had been gone longer than usual that day. And I'm like, hey, baby. And she's like, oh, I don't want to go with you. I want to stay with Grandma. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not doing it right. They're supposed to come running.
That's right.
All right, so here's mine. I went through this stage when my kids were little where I was determined they were going to eat what I cooked. And they were going to come to the table ready to eat, no complaints, and then like with a big old thank you at the end. Hold tight. So I served taco soup, and I learned that one of mine had a major like discomfort with textures. And so he struggled to eat that bowl of soup. He ended up kind of regurgitating it. And so we got him another bowl of soup, because I was determined I was going to win that one. That was an epic fail for me. I learned after that, it just doesn't matter. Doesn't matter that much.
Several of mine revolve around either illness or injury that I just misjudged. Yes. Like when they, oh, the shame. Yeah. Yeah, I had one where, and this was with an older child who would come home and say, my back hurts. And said I had to get out of the pool halfway through swim practice. And I said, you know, we don't do half practices. You need to finish your practices. His back was broken.
Oh, oh my God.
That was a bad fail.
It's so tough because you want to be a compassionate mom, yeah, but you also right. don't want to encourage your kids to be hypochondriacs right. every time, you know, that they get a bump or a bruise. We've had a couple of those too, and I've paid for MRIs that were unnecessary.
Yes.
And I've ignored tumors that had to be removed. You know, I mean, I've done those. So it's like, how do you know? You don't know. You don't, they don't come with the book.
No, they don't. I can remember calling my own mom when we would go through seasons where it, like, extended periods of time where they were struggling with one thing or another, and I would call my mom and say, you know, it's the end of the world, he's not doing this or she's not doing this, and my mom always said, like, literally, no matter what I called her about, he's not going to be doing it when he's six, or he's not going to be doing it when he's 10.
Doesn't feel right? helpful in the moment.
I know,
but,
yes. Yeah. You're like, there's a lot of years before he's six. You know, right. but it's true. You mm-hmm. look back and you're like, all the things that I made big deals about, that they made it through it and so did I.
Yes.
I think it gets hard when it's all tied in with other people. I found public parenting yes. really difficult.
Yes.
Because when eyes are on you, you feel pressure to do it right. You feel pressure to do right by your child too. Mm-hmm. And that's hard yeah. if you're losing friends over your kid beating up all the other children, you know, that's, you don't want to lose other relationships and friendships, and
there's just
and
such a,
you feel judged.
Yeah, yeah. I was just gonna say, there's you such a feeling of judgment, and I know yeah. women are probably worse at it than men, maybe, but we do feel that, like, she's watching how I do this, and if I don't respond well, mm-hmm. it's going to just put fail all over me, you know, and my kid's not toeing the line and behaving mm-hmm. and all those things. And
because yeah. I think, too, just about every mom I know feels insecure in some yeah. area, mm-hmm. even the ones who look like they have it all together. Mm-hmm. Motherhood is so sacred, and we all mm-hmm. love our children so deeply that it's painful to feel like we might not be doing it well.
Mm-hmm. So is there something that you guys wish that your husbands or the men in your life knew about motherhood?
It's not as easy as I make it look. I'm just kidding. I'm joking. Totally joking. I couldn't help myself. No, that is a lot harder than it really yes. looks, though, seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we just get things done. It's kind mm-hmm. of the nature of a woman, like the whole multitasking and all that. Mm-hmm. We make it look a lot easier than it is.
I can't turn off my mom mm-hmm. brain. Mm-hmm. I can't not consider yeah. my children.
Yeah.
Especially if something's going on with one of them. Mm-hmm. You know, right. you got to talk it out.
It's like the air conditioner hum in the back of your mind. Yes, it's just always going.
I just want to say, I feel so blessed by this time with you guys, and I feel strengthened and just grateful.
Well, I love how these moms are willing to be real and authentic, and I know there's so much further that they could go, but in our final few minutes together, I want to talk about two things specifically that I've noticed that I'm going to put under this category. It's probably not the right title, but I'm going to call it enemies of motherhood. Two things that I think continue to wage war in some form or fashion against this role of motherhood. And the first of those, this is probably the one I'm most concerned about saying the right way, so I hope you'll bear with me here just for a second. It seems to me that sometime, I don't know, about 60 years ago, it became really clear. I'm not an American history expert, okay, so bear with me. About 60 years ago, it became clear that there were lots of things in our society and lots of things in our culture that just weren't fair for women, that women weren't being honored and celebrated and treated the right way. They weren't being paid the right wages. I mean, there were lots of things that were just completely wrong. And so a movement began to correct some of those things. And lots of changes have been made in that window of time, and there's many more that still need to be done. But I think we would all agree that a lot of those changes have been fantastic, right? It's been incredible for women to now have a voice and now to have opportunities and now to have wages where they actually support themselves and all the things that should have happened. But I think in that process, I think an unintentional and unintended byproduct of that progress is that somewhere along the way, I think we began to devalue the idea of motherhood. Now, I wasn't around 100 years ago, so it's very possible that we've been devaluing motherhood for many, many years, way before that. Maybe it didn't just start begin then, but I'm just noticing in the cultural context that I'm able to kind of place my eyes on, that somehow we began to say that just being a mom is not all that significant. I mean, I think you hear it in the little things that people say, the little smirky things that many of us as men and many people in society say, you know, like, oh, so all you're really doing is like just changing diapers and staying home with a baby? Is that's all you're really doing, right? So, oh, you're just like making lunches and getting kids off to school, really? So that's kind of all you do with your day and with your time? You're just managing home? I mean, really, it's just like just laundry and cleaning the house, really? And by the way, many of us as men make those comments until you're out of town and then we have to manage all those responsibilities. And then we're like, holy cow, how do they pull this off? You know, it's unbelievable. But we make many of these comments. And then we'll look at some women who have chosen, let's say, for their occupation or for, you know, this season of their life to predominantly focus on motherhood as their primary, you know, focus or responsibility. And we'll say things like, oh, you're only a mom? That's all you do? Or I've actually seen this before. I've seen like a teenage girl or college age young girl. And when you ask her like, so what do you want to do when you grow up? What do you want to do when you get older? And she'll literally just say like, I want to be a mom. Like, that's what I want to do. And I've seen people respond with, you just want to be a mom? Like, that's all you want to do? And I don't think it's anyone's intention. I don't think anyone is trying to devalue it. But I think what has happened is societally and culturally, and I'm as guilty as anyone, that I think we have devalued this amazing thing that God, the creator of the universe, built into the heart of women that no one else can replicate. This thing that God designed many women to be able to do, which is motherhood. And I think we have undervalued that. And I just want to be the first to say again, I didn't have any context for this other than the last, you know, 15 or 20 years of my life. I want to be the first to say, I'm sorry. Like on behalf of men, on behalf of the church, I know I can't fix things for what many of you have experienced, but I am so sorry for how we have totally undervalued and underappreciated this massive, eternal, significant investment that many women have made as mothers. And it breaks my heart that we've, you know, undervalued it the way we have. I know this as well, that there are emotional parts of our being that never develop the way they were fully intended to develop without the investment and the impression of a mother. And I know that from firsthand experience. Again, there are some things that I'm still trying to develop in my life that I can see that my sons already have built into their soul because of the mom that they were able to experience firsthand. Now, Bonnie and I right now are reading a book, and the book is absolutely fascinating. Here's the book. The book is called The Body Keeps the Score. It's by a guy named Bessel van der Kolk. And this guy is fascinating on a number of levels. The book is about the healing of trauma. And specifically, this guy was one of the lead researchers in the discovery of PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. This is a fascinating book on so many levels, and I don't have time to dive into it, but I want to tell you one little thing that he spoke to in the book. He talked about some research that was done in the Baltimore area in the 1970s. He said there was a group that went into some low-income housing situations, and they decided to spend some intentional money with a select group of families, select group of moms and families, and go into their homes and teach them about how to manage a home and how to raise their children, how to create a positive atmosphere, and literally just give them training. Because you think about this, you come home from the hospital and like, there's no book, nobody's training you, they just let you go. It's pretty crazy, they let you walk off with a human like that, you know? But the hospital just lets you do that. And so they decided to make this investment. They followed up 20 years later with each of these families and kids. And here's what they found. They found that a high percentage of these homes that they went into and made these investments, these kids were in better careers. They were better social adjusted. They were had stayed out of jail more. I mean, there were so many incredible positives. They literally were able to financially calculate the value. Listen to this. Their simple research in this one project indicated that for every $1 that was spent helping a mother and helping a family become what it was supposed to be in a healthy context, it saved at least $7 later on things like substance abuse, welfare, prison, and so many other things. And here's the primary idea that I want you to see from that. We've underestimated the value of the emotional investment and all the sacrifice that goes into the role of motherhood. But even beyond that, there is literally a financial, calculatable value to our society, to the role that moms, you can literally calculate it, to the incredible role that moms bring into this world. So for those of you that aren't, you know, ooey gooey, mushy relation, you know, that kind of people, emotional kind of people, literally there is financial value. And so I think the progress that's been made in the last 60 or 100 years societally to create more opportunity for women, man, it is phenomenal. And I literally hope there's so much more of it. I'm raising a daughter and I hope she grows up in a world that has so much opportunity. But I don't ever want us to overshadow, to undervalue, to act like the investment, the role, the gifting of motherhood is anything less than miraculous. Because it is amazing. Yeah, thank you. I want to talk for a second about the second enemy of motherhood, and this is the one that all the moms are going to connect with the best. Right? There's society and the things that we need to do better to elevate and honor and celebrate motherhood. But moms, one of the biggest battles that many of you face is actually the battle from within. It's the voice that tells you constantly that you're doing a bad job. In the research for this, I ran across a woman's blog, and I want you to see what she wrote recently. This is how she described her thoughts on motherhood. She said, "When I feel shame, the voices in my head pipe up with this. You're the worst mom. Your kids deserve better. Why can't you be happy just being a mom like the other moms? You will never be good enough. You failed. You will always fail. And you should never have become a mom." That's what's going on inside her mind. And I'm convinced that some portion of those lies exist in the minds and the hearts of many moms. That insecurity, that fear, that doubt. One of my favorite authors is Brené Brown, and Brené has written a lot on the idea of mom shame. Actually, ladies, a book that I would highly recommend is one of her first books, which was I Thought It Was Just Me, But It Isn't. And that's an incredible book, and I think definitely worth reading. But I ran across this other idea, this other comment on shame, and listen to this. It says, "For women, shame centers on a web of unattainable, conflicting, competing expectations about who we're supposed to be." A web of unattainable, conflicting, competing expectations about who we're supposed to be. Let me tell you what that voice is. It's a Greek word called sarx in the New Testament. And sarx is this idea of the sinful, broken part of us that exists in every single one of us from birth. Literally from Genesis 3 on to today, every single one of us is born with this sinful, broken part on the inside of us. And the Bible refers to it as the sarx. And that's the origination of many of these lies. And I know that there are so many of you as moms here today, and you live with this idea that you're just not doing it good enough. You're not doing it as good as the people around you. You continue to fail compared to the other people around you. And one of the things I would encourage you, by the way, to consider doing is consider taking a break from social media. Consider backing away from that voice of comparison in our culture, because anytime we compare our lives to the edited highlights of the lives of others, we'll always lose. We will always lose because nobody's real life is just their edited highlights. We don't post all of our fails. We post all the things that go just right. And so this idea of the sarx exists, and it is the origination of many of those lies. And it's something that many of us in life in general, but many of you as moms have got to figure out how to combat. How do I get the truth of God to replace this idea? Because let me tell you, those lies about failure, that's not what your children think of you as a mom. That's not what God thinks of you as a mom. That's not the voice of truth. And you can't let that voice reign in your lives. And so I want to show you a passage real briefly before we wrap up here that's really obscure, and it's in the Hebrew Old Testament. It's out of the book of Isaiah. And real quickly, the idea here is this. God's speaking to the Jewish people. And in this situation, the Jewish people have been rebellious. They've been sinful. They've been disobedient, okay? So think of them as like your children just for a second. And like God's the parent and they're the child and they've continued to rebel. And they get to this place where literally they wonder, have they been so bad that it's impossible for God to continue to love them? And we can all relate to that idea. And in this passage in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 14, I want you to look at what God says. Yet Jerusalem says, the Lord has deserted us. The Lord has forgotten us. Pause here just for a second. This is how they're feeling. They're feeling like, because of my sin, because of my failure, because of all the things that I've done wrong, surely the Lord has given up on me. Surely the Lord has forgotten me. And here's how God speaks into the situation. And before I show you this next slide, I want to tell you. God, first of all, says, no way. That's not true. But then he decides to give them an analogy of the idea of unconditional love. And he wants to give a comparison that is one of the most powerful ideas that they could ever conceive of what unconditional love is like, okay? And I want you to look at the analogy that he uses. He says, never. Go to the next slide. He says, can a mother forget her nursing child? Can she feel no love for the child she has born? So pause there. Don't even worry about the rest of this. God says, you want to know the most intimate version of love that's imaginable? I want you to think about a mother and her child. Because that's about as great as love ever gets. And he says, so could a mom forget her child, this child that she's nursed and born? Could she forget that child? And he says, but even if that were possible, I would not forget you. And God says to the people of Israel, I'm going to show you the most extreme version of love you could ever imagine. And let me tell you, that's the best it'll get on earth here for you. My love for you is even greater. And so moms, here's what I want to tell you. When God wanted to show what the greatest love imaginable was like, he pointed to motherhood. He compared his love to motherhood. Your sacrifice is simply amazing. Your role is irreplaceable. And so here's the conclusion that I've come to. And this is really simple. This is the big idea for today. Motherhood is a gift to humanity from God. Motherhood is a gift to humanity from God. It's an absolute gift and one that I haven't treasured the way that I need to. But I'm hoping today we can all take a step toward honoring, celebrating, and revering this incredible gift that God's provided. Now, it's really important to me that I get your attention for like the next 60 seconds. When you make a statement like this, I know that there are lots of people in the room and you either have had a mom that wasn't a great situation or you can't have children or you aren't married or there's a lot of different factors that can impact you. So you can hear things maybe that I'm not saying. So I want to be crystal clear what I'm not saying just for a moment, okay? So here's three things I'm not saying. I am not saying that single women lack value. As a matter of fact, I would say one of the things that we've done poorly is speaking to what the Bible says about singleness, because the Bible actually says that singleness is a higher calling. And we haven't done a great job of honoring that in the commitment and the sacrifice that really is. So I'm not saying that today. Second thing I'm not saying is that married women without children are incomplete. I know some amazing godly women who either haven't chosen to have children, and that's not the path that they've chosen to move in life, or I understand a little bit about the battle of infertility. And those of you that have walked through that, I can't even imagine how hard Mother's Day is for you every year. And I'm so sorry. So I am in no way saying that you are incomplete. And then lastly, I want to be really clear that I'm not saying that married women who work outside the home are doing something wrong. Everybody's story is unique. Everybody's situation is different. My wife is working right now. We need all the help we can get to raise these teenagers. I am with you, okay? I completely get it. I'm not saying any of these things. Here's what I'm saying. Motherhood is a gift to humanity from God. Motherhood is a gift from humanity from God. And mothers should be honored and celebrated. And way too often, mothers are treated like day-old bread, like something you just take for granted. And moms, you know this. The majority of your sacrifice that you make in the lives of your children, they're not even old or mature enough to recognize it. They can't even see it. I mean, you're doing countless things behind the scenes, and they don't even have any idea of the kind of sacrifice. And I'll just tell you, many of us as guys, we have a tendency to undervalue it. And I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for the role the church has played in that, the role that culture has played in that, the role that I as an individual have played in that. And so here's the last couple of things I want to say. Motherhood is essential to the order of life that God's created. We don't have life without mothers, right? But not only so, it's essential for us to become the kind of healthy people that God has designed for us to become. Moms, you're absolutely irreplaceable. Your role is so important. I don't want you to ever think that motherhood is insignificant. As a matter of fact, I heard this statement recently that moms, quite possibly, the most significant thing you ever do in life might be someone you raise more than something you do. And so what you're doing is so vitally important. It is worthy of honor. It is worthy of celebration. It is worthy of us taking the role of motherhood and lifting it up and saying, for any of you that choose or are able to invest your life in this way, you are doing a really high calling, and it's so important, and we ought to come behind you and find ways to help support you in this incredibly important role. And that's what we want to do. That's what we want to stand behind you and do. So today is just one little small step in that direction. And so moms, if I could just speak to you as the last thing I want to say here. Please don't believe the lies that society tells you that being a mom is not enough. It's enough. It absolutely is. And please don't believe the lies that you hear from the inside that say that you're not doing it well enough or you're not doing it as good as someone else. Motherhood is impossible to do flawlessly. It's impossible. It's a realm of expectations and responsibilities that nobody does flawlessly. There are multiple moments of confession and apology and trying to get better and do it right. But man, oh man, you're doing something so important. And I'm willing to bet for so many of you, you're doing it way better than you think you are. And on behalf of your kids who probably aren't able to tell you right now, thank you so much. Thank you for your sacrifice. Motherhood is a beautiful, beautiful thing. You're doing a good work, a very, very good work. So if we could, I just want to pray for you. Will you bow your head and close your eyes? Father, I just first want to say thanks for my mom. Thanks for using her to bring me into this world. Thanks for the sacrifice that she made for me. And God, I'm really sorry that I didn't honor and appreciate her better than I did. Thank you as well for giving me the gift of watching Bonnie be an amazing mom. God, I'm sorry that I haven't honored her the way that she's deserved. Help me to do a better job at that. And God, would you help us in this church? We can't change culture, but we can change what happens here. Would you help us to honor and elevate and celebrate and value moms? Thank you so much for the gift of motherhood. Thank you for even just creating the idea. God, thank you for the nurture. Thank you for the intimacy. Thank you for the instruction. Thank you for the encouragement, the sacrifice, the service, the just investment on so many levels that moms bring into our lives. And so today, God, would you do something in their souls? Something in those places, God, where the enemy is lying to them, where the sarks is lying to them, where they don't feel like they're enough. Would you speak to those deep places of their souls and tell them that you love them and that you're proud of them and that they're doing a really, really good work? And would you show us how to come behind them and help them and support them in what they do? So God, I lift all these moms up here to you today. And God, I lift up the people for whom Mother's Day is a painful experience. Please minister to them today. God, thank you for their courage to be here and to be a part of this, even when it's uncomfortable. So we love you, God, and we pray all this in Jesus' amazing name. Amen.